Brown Show with Anna DeBlantis, yes. Right here, 720 WGN. Our personal congressman, Adam Kinzinger, is with us.
We've seen you everywhere today, Congressman.
There are 435 congresspersons, 434 congresspersons representing districts throughout the United States of America.
Right.
And one just representing the show. So that's how we do it. That's how you get to 435.
I love that. All right. I love how gender neutral you were, too, there.
Yes, thank you very much.
Very good, Ro.
I know. Thank you.
Did you see that new Illinois law that requires that moving forward? January 1st. You don't have to start until then, actually.
What do I have to do?
It's going to be alder person, not alder man any longer. And so you were just kind of falling in line with the new rules. Very good.
I just call them unindicted co-conspirators. That's how I refer to aldermen. All right. Let's talk about, first, a lot of stuff going on. I just saw you on CNN and Fox. I still can't figure out how you did it within 2 minutes of each other in studios. Yeah. I don't know why you did it, but you did it.
He runs fast.
You spent the last hour on media talking about Syria, and you don't think this is such a good idea. As a matter of fact, I think you're quoted as saying if Barack Obama had done this, every GOP would be furious pulling out of Syria.
Yeah, this is honestly one of the dumbest foreign policy things I've ever heard of in a long time. Look, we are winning the war on ISIS. We haven't won it. Nobody that knows anything about foreign policy will say that the fight against ISIS is over. And the president was elected on the basis of saying, I'm the toughest guy that's going to take on ISIS. So, I like that about him. I like that we are prosecuting the fight, that he loosened the rules of engagement. We're making progress. And then literally this morning, wakes up and decides we're done, we beat him, and we're coming home. And, gets praise from Rand Paul. So, it's obviously a really good, foreign policy thing. Yeah. So I'm looking at this going, you're going to triple the size of ISIS overnight because they will declare that they had victory over the United States of America. That's how they operate, no doubt.
When you put that tweet out about we have defeated ISIS and therefore this is going to happen, it seemed to come to a surprise to members of Congress for sure, but members of his own administration, do you think they were fairly taken aback by this move?
Yeah. I mean, every indication we have, they may have been advised of this maybe yesterday, but it's one thing if you get a bunch of advisors and maybe a couple say get out and, 20 say stay in and you go with the get out, that's fine. It sounds like he just made the decision unilaterally. And I want to be clear, he's the president. He has the right to do that under the Constitution, and I respect his authority to do it. But I also have a right to come out and say that this is a decision that is going to lead to really bad consequences. He can no longer criticize after this. If he follows through, and I pray he doesn't, he can no longer criticize Barack Obama for leaving Iraq in 2011 because he's doing this even faster than what President Obama did. It's really a sad thing.
Right, and not in the same, we don't have the same sort of installations in Iraq that we had. We had institutional, we still have personnel in Iraq, diplomatic personnel, and some skeletal military personnel that are there to maintain security for the folks that we still have in that country. And obviously we still have a fairly robust operation going on in Afghanistan. But in Syria, we had small groups of people, mostly special operations folks and some other intelligence types of assets that were there, and then not necessarily in, not no real large bases there, as we kind of have come to know them, like you had at, Bagram or Balad, any of those kinds of places that we had in Iraq or in Afghanistan. And so this is, you got, and these guys have to get out safely and quickly. And once you know that they're leaving, that's when pot shots start. The lessons of Vietnam are not lost in modern time here.
Yeah, that's true. And also, Ro, though, arguably, when you left Vietnam, you left because we were losing. We were losing a lot of people. We looked at something and said, this is unwinnable. We found a way to leave. We are not losing a bunch of people in Syria. Of course, every life lost is tragic. And I wear on my wrist a buddy of mine that was killed in March of 18 against this war on ISIS. So I personally feel the loss over there. But we have 2,000 troops fighting an entire terrorist organization with folks on the ground that are not Americans and being very successful at it, to then wake up one morning, and this isn't a show, foreign policy, these things out here are shows, this is real. This is a real impact. And I'll tell you, in Tehran, they're excited. In Moscow, they're excited. They're worried in Tel Aviv.
Well, doesn't it? Okay, so I want to go to the. First of all, I'm going to need you to change whatever you're doing with your phone. I'm not sure what it is you're.
Sounds muffled.
But it's
okay. Muffled. I'll try better.
Whatever you can do.
That's
yes,
good.
That is better. Thank you. The piece about Moscow. This leaves Syria. We were the last bulkhead in Syria against basically Assad and Putin taking over the rest of the country, which would change the outcome here because Assad and Putin are not necessarily on the side of right here. They may actually be right. Working with the Iranians on this, right? So,
oh, of course they are.
We basically have just handed it over to Iran.
Yeah, that's right. So we have a base in an area called Al-Tamt, and that straddles a main supply route that Iran is trying to take control of, which would get supplies to Hezbollah in Israel. We've held that base in Al-Tamt, not just for the strategic value, but to prevent Iran from building that land bridge. This, by this tweet, is gone. You take into account the fact that Moscow just tweeted that they really appreciate the United States doing this. This will be great for our relationship. Of course they do, because we're leaving. And so what this is doing is it's emboldening Iran, emboldening Assad, emboldening Moscow. And we were able to hold our position in the past with very little effort. And now I've got to tell you, the ramifications of this, if people don't understand, it's one thing if you're an isolationist, that's a legitimate viewpoint. I respect it, but I disagree. But if you think that somehow this is going to lead to peace with ISIS, or this is going to lead to a better situation in the Middle East, it's not going to happen. Just look at history every time.
Before we let you go, I have to ask you about the budget stalemate here. It appears that the Senate is moving a bill forward that takes the wall out. Do you think there's going to be a government shutdown by the end of this week?
No, doesn't look like it. So I think we'll do a short-term funding bill, and maybe we'll have something in February. Who knows? Because we're fully open until February. But I think we're going to avert it for Christmas, which is, nice for those of us that enjoy Christmas.
Right, and the fact that when you shut the government down over Christmas, you can't start it back up very quickly. So
that's right. Yeah. It's kind of silly to do.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Congressman, thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Congressman.
It, sir.
You bet, guys. Take care.
Bye.